Now, as you will have seen from the email and the title, my message is asking a question, what are you depending on? We're speaking about what are you depending upon for eternity, for your acceptance before God, to keep you safe for this life, and right into the great eternity, what are you depending upon? Because the Bible describes the two particular foundations. You could be upon the rock where there's safety and security and all is calm because there's safety had there. Or maybe there could be someone listening in this afternoon and you're depending upon the sand that's not going to sustain, it's not going to keep you, and that won't deliver you to heaven at the last. So we're going to be reading from the Bible. It's already been said this afternoon that we are going to read from the Bible. We always read from the Bible. It is our source of all information that we seek to present, and it's God's word. So it's more important than anything that I could say. I hope to speak from it and make things understandable to a degree, but it's the word of God that we direct you to this afternoon, and we're going to take three readings. The first one is found in the Gospel by Matthew. That's the first of the Gospels and the first book of the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, for our first reading, and chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and we're reading words of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to start at verse number 24. So the Lord Jesus says, it's a continuation of his preaching and his teaching here, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great, says the Lord Jesus, great was the fall of it. Come with me, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. That's further back in your Bibles, in the New Testament, further back from where we've been reading in Matthew. 1 Corinthians, it follows the letter to the Romans, then 1 Corinthians is where you'll find it, following Romans. First Corinthians 15, and the writer here is a man by the name of Paul, and he is a Christian, early Christian preacher, writer, and apostle, and he's writing to people that live in the city of Corinth. They lived in the city of Corinth at the time of his writing, and he's writing to people who knew God's salvation. They knew what it was to be rescued from sin and perishing. And so he's speaking to people about the wonders of what God has done. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Listen to this, "wherein ye stand." Verse 2, "by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now for one final reading, please. We're going back to the book of the Psalms, back in the Old Testament, the great songbook. And Psalms is where we're turning, Psalm number 95. Psalm number 95, and just one verse. It's the opening verse of the psalm. This is a psalm of those who can rejoice in God's salvation. Listen to what the psalmist writes. Verse 1, Psalm 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Please notice the title given to the Lord there by the psalmist is the rock of our salvation. Now, this afternoon, I'd like to bring to your attention this most pressing question, and the question is, what are you depending upon? Are you like that wise man, and your life and eternity is built firmly upon the solid rock? Or is it that you have built it upon the flimsy and the moving sands that will never last? Some of you may have noticed just in the week just past, the Miami Herald, that's the newspaper for Miami, Florida, USA, not Miami down on the Gold Coast. The Miami Herald, they won the prestigious Pulitzer Prize for journalism because of their excellent reporting and journalistic excellence in relation to their reporting on a great, great tragedy that took place in Surfside, Florida, just last year. It was a story that captured my attention when it occurred, a story of absolute tragedy. And if anyone is wanting to look into the story of this collapse of this tremendous building in Surfside, Florida, there's at least a series of at least 12 podcasts where the journalists go over all the details of the events leading up to the tragedy and the subsequent findings of the investigation. So it's called the Champlain Towers South Collapse. The Champlain Towers South building was a 12-story apartment building. It was built in 1981. It was in the suburb of Surfside, Miami, Florida. It was one of a complex of three buildings. The other two buildings were built later. The second building was built in 1982. And then the third building that made up the Champlain South Towers complex was built in 1994. But there were concerns even in recent years as to the structure and the structural integrity of this particular complex, Champlain Towers South. And the concerns were so great that they called in engineers in 2008, and they were called in to make an inspection of the foundation structure and the basement structure that this complex, this 12-story apartment complex, was built upon. And the investigation from the engineers, the structural engineers who made this inspection and made this investigation, they reported and noted in their report that there was concrete degradation, there was a breaking down and a crumbling of sections of concrete in the basement section, there was exposed reinforcement, and so it was showing wear, and there were areas of concern. Enough for them to later, more than 12 months later, they got another report, and the report was revealing the same problems and they were worsening. And then most recently, in April last year, 2021, a further structural report was made, and it was in this report quoted as being much worse. All that had been observed previously was still there. It was no better, and it was reported as being much worse. That was only in April of 2021. You come forward to the 24th of June, 2021. On the 24th of June, 2021, at 1:14 a.m., there was one of the residents of that complex was up in her apartment, and she was on the telephone, on the landline, to a friend in conversation. And she was looking down over from her apartment. She was looking down over the pool deck area. And while she was on the phone, she commented to her friend that she saw this massive crack that had appeared on the pool deck area. And she was commenting on this large crack. She'd never seen it before. And while she was on that phone call, the phone lines were cut, and that was the end of the conversation. See, things were starting to move. Only 8 minutes later, at 1:22 a.m., the whole of Champlain Towers complex crumbled, fell to the ground. It came down over a period of 12 seconds. It only took 12 seconds for the entire apartment block to fall to the ground in a crumbling mess. And 98 people lost their lives. 98 people who were depending upon that building for their safety and their security. They were trusting it to keep them safe. And it failed them in the test. It failed them miserably. And 98 people went out of life and were ushered into eternity. They'd been trusting on something that had failed them and let them down at the last. So I asked to you this afternoon, because my mind went, when I heard this terrible tragedy last year, my mind went to these words of the Lord Jesus, where he spoke of people who are building their houses, building their lives. All their trust is upon the sand that cannot sustain and cannot keep. It's going to fall. It's going to fail. There's no security for the future. So my question to you this afternoon, to every one of us, what are you depending on? What are you trusting in order for you to be right with God and ready for heaven and ready for the great eternity? You see, this section in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, there's many things that look all right, but they're not all right. In this particular chapter 7, before the verses that we particularly read, the Lord Jesus was warning and he was telling them that, look, there's two particular roads in life. We can either be amongst the saved who have trusted the Lord Jesus and we're on that narrow road, and that narrow road is leading to life. Or on the other hand, if we're not on that narrow road that's leading to life and to heaven and to everlasting joy, the Lord Jesus says, well, there's only one other road, and that is the broad road, and its end is destruction, moving on to destruction. Then the Lord Jesus said, there are people who are dressed up as sheep, but they're actually wolves. They look like sheep, but in reality, they're wolves. They're wearing the veneer. They're wearing the looks of a sheep, but they're not real, and they're wolves. Then the Lord Jesus says, there are people who are like trees. There's the good trees, and they bring forth good fruit, and there's the corrupt trees, and they bring forth evil fruit. They might look the same at a distance, but they're proven by what they produce. So there's good trees, and there's corrupt trees. There's the wolves, and there's the sheep. There's the narrow way, and there is the broad way. And not only that, the Lord Jesus says that there are people in a coming day when life is over that are going to fully expect to land in heaven at the last, and they're going to find themselves on the outside. And from the outside, they're knocking on the door saying, let us in, let us in. They're even saying, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. All that preaching we've been doing, all that declaring of the message of God, we have cast out devils in your name, they say. And the Lord Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Then last of all, the Lord Jesus comes to this particular story where he told of two men, and they're building houses. Both of them are building houses, and one's a wise man. He's building on what is going to last. The other's a foolish man. He's building upon the sinking, unstable sand that will never last. My friend, what are you depending upon for life and for eternity? Notice how all of these things, they can look so good, and you can get two objects before you that they, for to outward appearance, they just look the same. One's equal to the other, but in reality, they're vastly different, vastly different. All these things are going to be put to the test one day, and only what is genuine, what is real, will pass the test. The veneer is going to be removed. All the make-believe and all the show is going to be revealed, and what is real is going to be exposed at the last. So I ask you again, what is it that you are trusting upon to land you in heaven at the last? This is absolutely critical for every one of us to make sure we are resting upon the rock, the solid, sure foundation that God alone can provide. What are you depending upon? You see, all of us, we are moving from time to eternity. We are presently living in time. We're governed by time. We're not here for long. And when this lifetime is over, we are moving on out of time and our movement is in the direction of eternity. We are going to eternity, every one of us. We are going from this life to God's great eternity. Listen to the words of Job, a man who's recorded in the Bible in very, very ancient times. Listen to the words that Job says. He described it this way. He said, "I go the way whence I shall not return." My friend, we're not coming back. You only have one life. I only have one life. We only have one opportunity to have our sins forgiven and be right with God. This is not a practice run, this life. This is not the dress rehearsal when the real event's coming and we're just doing a bit of a practice run at the moment. This is the life that God has given us, the opportunity to get things right with God, to have our sins forgiven. We're not coming back. We'll be never given a chance to have a rerun on this life. And let's get those things right that we got so terribly wrong. We need to be sure of heaven, of salvation, of our sins forgiven. We need to be built upon the solid rock, a sure foundation. My friend, considering this fact that we, all of us, every one of us, we're moving from time, from life to eternity, then I think this afternoon it is high time we give due consideration to where we're going. It is high time to think about this soberly and seriously. What are you depending upon to deliver you to the heavenly shores? What are you depending upon? We'll not be here forever. We are creatures who are mortal. Do you realize that every sunset and every time you turn a page on a diary, every time you flick through a calendar and cross off another day on the year planner, it's reminding us of our mortality. Time is racing past. Time is escaping us. I can hardly believe, to be quite honest, we're here on the 15th of May, 2022. Felt like yesterday was New Year's Day. Where have those 5 months gone? We'll never have an opportunity to have that time back again. We are moving on to eternity. We're being reminded daily of our mortality, and we're going to meet God. Every one of us, we are going to be in eternity sooner than we think. And so we need to think very, very soberly. Am I going to heaven or am I going to destruction? Where am I going? So the question is, have you had your sins forgiven? Considering that we're moving on to eternity where we'll meet God and we'll be made accountable for our sin if it's not forgiven, have you had your sin forgiven? Have you rested upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been rescued from sin slavery? Have you been brought into the family of God? Have you repented of sin and trusted the Lord Jesus? Because if you haven't, according to the Lord Jesus, if you haven't ever turned to him and trusted him, you're still on that broad way. And it's moving down, as he said himself, it's going to destruction, moving on to destruction. Anyone on this Zoom who is from Australia would know full well that the election for our federal representatives takes place next weekend. And constantly in all the news media, constantly, the talk is about this issue called the cost of living. And I understand that. I know what they're talking about. There are some people that are really struggling to balance the budget, the household budget. Some people are really struggling to make ends meet. And that's a very real concern for some people. And we feel for these ones. They're trying to just make it all meet and stretch the dollars to make it meet their needs. So it's termed the cost of living. My friend this afternoon, would you consider for a moment the cost of dying without Christ? The cost of dying, eternity, lost, away from God, under the judgment of God, rightfully against your sin, to be separated forever? That's the cost of dying without Christ. Think about it for a moment this afternoon. You and I need a dependable foundation. We need a solid foundation. This is not something light that we're talking about. This is eternity, and this is real. This is forever. What are you depending upon for eternity and for your eternal security? Now, the Lord Jesus spoke here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. He spoke of two men and two houses and two foundations. These men were both were in the business of building. One built upon the rock, one built upon the sand. That was the great distinction between the two of them. You know, when it comes to building, when all is said and done, it's the substructure of a building that is the most important part of all. That is the most important part of all, because that footing, that foundation, has to be able to sustain the load of the building, has to be able to support the building, has to be able to provide security and hold it all together. So when all is said and done, it's the substructure that is the most important part. It's not so important the color of the exterior or the color of the roof tiles or the trimmings on the side. The most important part of a building is its foundations, is its footings, is the substructure. You know, I found this very, very thought-provoking when I considered this passage, to think that it's what is not seen that is most important of all. Of all things, it's what's hidden below the soil, below the ground level. It's what's out of sight that is most important of all. Now, the Lord Jesus said, he said, look, if there's a man who hears the message that I proclaim and he acts upon it, the Lord Jesus says, he's like a man who's wise. He's thinking ahead. He's thinking of the future. This is a wise man. He's going to hear the message that I proclaim. He's going to act upon it. He's like a man building a house who's going to dig down, and he's going to get down to the rock, to the solid foundation for the building of his house. You know, if we go to Luke's gospel, who also reports on this same occasion when the Lord Jesus was telling the story of the two foundations, Luke adds another dimension that Matthew doesn't. And he says regarding this wise man who is going to build upon the rock, it says he digged deep. He went down. He had his shovel out and he kept on going. He went further down. Down. He wanted to get down to the solid rock. He was going to build a house. He wanted it to last. He wanted it to be safe and sure. And so he digged deep. He wants a house that will last, a house that won't be moved, a house that will give him safety. And he doesn't stop until he gets down to the rock. I can actually imagine this man as he's sweating out, laboring on the work site, on the building site, and he's digging down. I can imagine people coming along and saying to him, that'll do. Stop where you are. You've gone down 400 mils. That'll do. Look, if you just stop now and you save so many thousands of dollars in the footings, think of the money you could spend on the carpet. Think of the money you could spend on the floor coverings and the beautiful paintings, some of the furniture you'd be able to afford. If you just stop, just that'll do. You're down into the sand there, that'll do. This man's serious. He keeps digging until he gets down to something that is going to support the house and it's going to hold the house. And so he doesn't stop digging until he gets down to the rock. He was able to prevent this temptation of stopping prematurely. And he wasn't going to listen, and he wasn't going to take the advice to just settle for where you are now. That'll do. He kept digging until he got down to the rock. And it tells us here, the Lord Jesus says, the time of testing came. And sure enough, there's a time of testing for every one of us. The time of testing came. The Lord Jesus said, verse 25 of Matthew chapter 7, and the rain descended. Very similar to the months we've had here in Australia, southeast Queensland particularly. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. It was still standing against all the raging of nature, of the water, of the winds, against all those elements. That house didn't fall. It stood firm. And the Lord Jesus adds this. He tells us that it fell not, and he tells us why it didn't fall. For it was founded upon a rock. That's the reason why this house stood and withstood, because it was built upon the solid rock. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus said there's another man. He's also in the business of building. But the Lord Jesus says regarding this man, he's foolish. He hears the word of God, but he's not putting it into practice. He's not acting upon it. It's going in this ear and out this ear. He's not taking notice of the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says he's like a man who's building a house and he built it upon the sand. You can imagine this man. He's a foolish man. The Lord Jesus said so. And he's going to start his building. Oh, let's just put the blocks down here on the sand. That looks good enough to me. Let's start laying the bricks down here. Let's start piling the rocks for the rock wall along here. I'm going to save so much money here. I'm going to have it built so much quicker than the other man. That man up the road, he keeps digging and he's still going. I'm going to have this finished before he's got up to floor level. This man is just building his house upon the shifting sands. He doesn't get down to what is stable and solid and that will sustain him. He's not digging to reach a solid foundation. It might look good when he's finished. The brickwork looks good. The blockwork looks good. The carpentry looks impressive. The color scheme might be beautiful to the eye. It all looks good. And when you have both buildings complete, you might look at one and look at the other and see, well, I don't see any difference. They're just the same, these two buildings. Nothing between them. To the eye, they can look the same. But one was fundamentally flawed. And the Lord Jesus says, regarding the time of testing for this man and this man's house. Verse 27, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So I ask again, this is a message that is bringing to the attention of the Lord's hearers and us this afternoon. What are you depending upon for eternity? Are you like that wise man and you're resting on the Lord Jesus? You've trusted the solid rock? Or is it that you're building your life and all your hopes on the sand? Maybe there's someone listening in and you're trusting in your baptism to get you to heaven. I could be talking to someone and you're trusting in your church membership to get you to heaven. Maybe there's someone else who just thinks, well, I take bread and wine on a Sunday morning. Surely that will get me to heaven. Maybe you've spoken to a minister of religion and they have assured you that you're on your way to heaven. All is well. My friend, that is the sand we're talking about. It will not stand. It will not last. It will not sustain you. It will not keep you. It will not fit you for heaven. You need a savior. You need salvation that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He alone can save. There's a man that I got to know a little of a number of years ago, and I guess he'd be in his 60s or 70s now, and he was a believer in the Lord Jesus. He was clearly saved. He came to the Lord Jesus in his very early adult life, I think in his very early 20s. He came to the Lord Jesus. He was a little bit eccentric. And he was brought up without even knowing the gospel, knew nothing of the grace of God and the provision of the Lord Jesus, giving himself on the cross of Calvary. He knew nothing of this and of the solid foundation that the Lord Jesus alone can provide. But when he was a baby, his parents must have been religious enough to take him along to the local church. And he was christened. And only 5 or 6 years ago, this man, now in his well and truly into his adult life, was doing some tidying up around the house. And he came across the little certificate that his parents were issued on his behalf at the time of his christening. And it was a little slip of paper, probably about this big, a slip of paper. It was a certificate, official certificate from the church. And his name had been filled in the blank line on the candidate's name. And it said that he was now, because of being christened as a child, he was now a member of the family of God and an inheritor of the kingdom. And the date of his christening was there, was signed off by the minister. And this man, he amused me because he put it on social media. He took a photo of it. He put it on social media. He said, I found this in the cupboard. He said, what a joke. What a joke. He was depending upon that for years. His christening, enough to get him into heaven, make him right with God. He came to realize that was insufficient. And anything less than the Lord Jesus is also insufficient. And he looked at this certificate to assure him that he was right for heaven because he'd been christened as a baby. And he said, what a joke. Look, he amused me in the process of doing that. There was, I must say, I was amused because of the way he said it, a bit of sarcasm, it amused me. But my friend, it's not a joke at all. There are millions, billions of people around the world, over the face of the globe, that are trusting in flimsy things like an A4 certificate or an A5 certificate, whatever may be the case. A3 size, doesn't really matter. They're trusting in a piece of paper, trusting in something that a minister has given them, trusting upon things that will not last. What are you depending upon? You need, and I need, a reliable foundation, a solid basis. We need something that we can trust and rest upon, that we know is going to be enough to meet God's righteous requirements, satisfy God eternally, and usher us into heaven at the last. We need something that will sustain us for life and for eternity. Listen, though, to the beautiful words from the Bible, the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I love this verse. I love this verse. Paul says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. I'll tell you what he's saying in present-day English. This is absolutely true, and it's worthy of your trust. You can depend upon this statement 100%. It is worthy of your trust. And he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what we need, a Savior to come to where we are in our need, someone to come into our situation and rescue us. And the Word of God assures us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I was mentioning a moment ago that all of us, every one of us that's on the Zoom, everyone on earth, we are in time and we are moving to eternity. Let me tell you about the Lord Jesus, though. He came from eternity and came into time. This is the wonder of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus left heaven behind and he came down to this world to rescue perishing, hopelessly lost sinners, to give them a solid foundation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came from eternity. This is the love of God. This is the grace of God, that the Son of God would leave eternity and the bliss of heaven and the glory and the wonder of that delightful place. He left eternity and he came into time and was born into this world. He came as a man to rescue perishing sinners. You know, I love the verse of that hymn. We actually just sung it this morning. I love the verse of the hymn, and it says, he saw me plunged in deep distress. He came to my relief. For me, he bore the shameful cross and carried all my grief. Oh, listen in this afternoon. God's throwing you a lifeline. God is throwing you an opportunity to be saved and to be delivered from the morass of sin, from the sinking sand, from the squalor and the sin that is weighing you down. It's like a ball and chain about you. I know what it was like. I remember that, having my sin latched onto me and I couldn't get rid of it. And I needed a Savior. And you're like that at this moment in time. You've got the ball and chain of sin attached to you and you're sinking in the mud and in the squalor. You need someone to come to your side to lift you, deliver you from that. Well, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We can tell you that with assurance this afternoon. We read those beautiful verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Those people once didn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They were once in their sin and in all their shame, moving on to destruction. But they heard a wonderful message from God. And the writer, Paul, as he writes to them, we read those verses there. He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. They were just sinking in the mire of sin before they came to know the Lord Jesus. But they reached out to the Lord Jesus and they trusted him. And now they're standing on a solid foundation. They're on the solid rock. They're on the solid platform that will never let them down. Oh, he says, wherein ye now stand, by which ye are saved. It brought them salvation. It rescued them from sin and perishing. What was this wonderful message? It was the news that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. My friend, that's the message of the gospel. That's what God is offering to you this afternoon. He says, I can offer you a sure foundation. I can offer you a basis of certain salvation. It's based upon this fact that the Son of God came into this world, sinless and pure, and he died on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. The sinless Son of God, he died upon a cross. He bore the sins of a guilty world. He entered into death on behalf of our guilty world. He died for you and me. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose to life again. He's paid the price in full. He has satisfied God. He has satisfied justice. Every claim against us has been met because the Lord Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary. Are you depending on him? Are you depending upon him and his salvation? Has there been that moment where you have turned from sin and from yourself and you've turned to the Lord Jesus, realizing that he alone can save me? He has died to save me. He has died to purchase my pardon and my forgiveness. I'll trust him. God offers you that solid rock this afternoon that you can rest upon today. These ones in the city of Corinth, they were once in the terrible depths of sin, and now they're resting upon the solid rock. They're resting upon this great Gibraltar, that Christ died for them, that he was buried for them. For their sakes, he rose again, and they're resting on that wonderful truth. You will know when I refer to Gibraltar that Gibraltar is a British overseas territory down at the bottom of Spain on the Iberian Peninsula. And it's famous because of the great rock. It's virtually a rocky outcrop that makes up the area, which is Gibraltar. That massive rock has provided safety and security for humanity for so many years, centuries. It's currently the home of the Royal Gibraltar Regiment, which is part of the British Army. And that particular regiment, the Royal Gibraltar Regiment, their motto in Latin, when converted to English, simply means conquered by no enemy. They could say with assurance that that regiment are safe and they're secure because the rock provides their support, provides their protection. They can hide behind it in a storm. They can hide from the enemy. They can bury themselves in the tunnels of that rock and have security and safety, conquered by no enemy. What are you resting upon? Is it something that a minister said? Is it a few words you muttered, parroted off, and someone talked you through it, and they said to you, oh, that's wonderful, you're a Christian now. What are you resting upon? Are you trusting the Lord Jesus? Have you come to him and left it all with him and trusted him for salvation? That's a solid rock. That's what God calls upon you to do, to rest on him, the salvation and the Savior that he has provided. We read from Psalm 95. And there were a singing people in Psalm 95. And if you were saved this afternoon, I tell you what, you'll be able to sing like you've never sung before if you got saved this afternoon. Maybe you can't hit the right notes. It might come out quite funny, but I tell you, inside here, you'll be singing if you get saved this afternoon. Here were people that knew the joy of salvation. They knew a Savior that had delivered them and given them certainty for the future, a hope and a certainty for the future, an indestructible basis and a rock-solid foundation. They were building upon something that couldn't be moved. And the song that they're singing is addressed to the rock of our salvation. They were resting on God and upon his Christ, the rock of our salvation. So as I close, I ask again, what are you depending upon for eternity? Are you resting on the solid rock? We commend him to you today. He's the only reliable source. Nothing less will do. Nothing more is required, but nothing less will do than the Lord Jesus and the salvation that he offers. You can rest upon him. Turn from your sin this afternoon. Turn in repentance to him and rest upon him. That's what he means when he says about building, speaks of building on the rock. Or are you depending on the flimsy structures of the world and the pieces of paper and the comments from friends and neighbors, church friends? What are you depending upon? Be wise this afternoon. Get to the rock. Rest upon the rock, the one we who are saved speak of as the rock of our salvation. Now, I'm just going to close in prayer.